It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
All right, welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. Welcome back to another Wednesday with us. Thanks for being here.
And if you missed any of our previous episodes, be sure to check them out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. It's the MRCTV podcast. It's the only one. It's easy to find.
That is a true story, and we are everywhere. Everywhere.
Speaking of something that's everywhere, everybody's talking about creepy Uncle Joe Biden this week. Oh, yes, that's his history of kind of, you know, snuggling up to the ladies, giving them a little hair sniff, putting the arms on the shoulder. Well, some women have come forth and said, you know, this makes us uncomfortable. And now is the modern Democratic Party ready for an old school politician who has acted like this for years? He's never faced any serious allegations. No one's accused him of, sexual assault or anything of that nature. Let's be clear on that. He's looking at a possible Democratic presidential run. And now the party is saying, yeah, you know, we're not so comfortable with your history of doing these things.
Of groping people and touching people and sniffing people and kissing people. I mean, again, it's just, it's all over the place. And look, and I take a different angle on Joe Biden. A lot of my problems with Joe Biden are, they're policy-wise, right? I have problems with what he believes and what he wants to do in this country. I don't see this as, you know, a sexual harassment sort of thing. I really don't think there's much sexual in nature here. I do think that, you know, he's a old dude with old school ways, and I'm not sure, maybe before my time people used to just get handsy and that was totally okay. And look, I think that he needs to be aware of what he's doing, and I think he needs to stop. It makes for a lot of memes. This is not something we've only seen, like, you know, once or twice. This is all the time.
More than memes. I mean, you can just Google creepy Uncle Joe,
and
you will see
girls. Tons
of videos. Yeah, there's lots of videos of uncomfortable women. What's interesting now is Nancy Pelosi has come out and invited Joe to join her straight hand club. She likes to act like she has a cold and the person she's meeting has a cold. That's what she says. So she likes to put her hands straight out and have some distance. Now, I do agree that approaching Nancy Pelosi like she may have some kind of contagious virus is probably a very, very safe approach.
The liberalism, it's contagious.
To going to Nancy Pelosi, I don't know if that is even in Joe Biden's nature. I mean, we're talking about a man who has been doing this for years. In fact, Trump last night made reference to it, made a little dig. I'm surprised at this point he hasn't given him a nickname. He hasn't called him Cuddlin' Joe, Snugglin' Joe, Hair Sniffin' Joe, Handsy
Joe.
It's Gropey Joe.
It's definitely Gropey Joe. You know, and again, like I said before, and part of my hesitation to, you know, I've always kind of laughed at this, and you know, again, Joe Biden being Creepy Joe, that's sort of been a longstanding laugh here. He also is known for opening his mouth and inserting his foot, so he's kind of a gaffe machine, and he does stuff like this all the time. I've always been really hesitant to, you know, to come out and to condemn him too much for this, only because I do think we've entered into this really dangerous territory in our society where everything that could potentially make anybody uncomfortable is now lumped under the umbrellas of sexual harassment or sexual assault. And I think that's dangerous, especially as progressives try to push this whole rape culture thing. So I'm not lumping Joe Biden into any of those categories at all. I do think that he needs to not just stop touching people. Stop sniffing their hair.
That seems like a reasonable request.
Stop trying to kiss people. Just, you know, it's really not that difficult. Just, you know, keep your hands to yourself. Because people do deserve to not have their personal space invaded. At the same time, I think that most people, especially those on the left who are kind of using this as a cudgel against him, and Nancy Pelosi is having to come out and defend him here, I don't think it's really about that. I really don't. I think that if they had had a problem with Gropey Joe before, they would have said so. I think it's interesting that all of a sudden now, after years and years of this, all of a sudden it's being used as by some Democrats as a disqualifier for him running in 2020.
Well,
I see that as a political tool, though.
Yeah, no, it's a handicap. This guy has campaigned a certain way. It's his style. As you said, a lot of people would approve of him maybe taking a more hands-off approach. But this is part of his personality and who he is, I believe, at this point. And he's thinking about diving into the Democratic presidential race. And this is a handicap. He's going to be self-conscious. He's going to be thinking these things through. He's not going to be able to campaign naturally as he has. And let's face it, the people that support Joe Biden always tout his high likability factor. This kind of puts a crimp in it. And this is going to put a crimp in his actions. He might, be thinking things through. Ooh, do I want to approach this person? Do I want to hug this baby? We always have the old joke of politicians.
The answer is no. Just in case anybody was wondering, just go with no. If it's not your baby, just no.
Yeah, but some people offer babies up to be kissed by politicians. This is a historic thing that has happened. So
we got a measles outbreak, y'all. Don't be like handing your baby to people. Don't do that. But look, no, I do. I think it's political calculation. I think that you've got a stark divide right now, and it's something that's interesting to see among the Democrats because we haven't historically seen this. I think you've got it kind of started, or at least we saw it really ramping up back in 2016 with the Bernie Sanders faction and the Hillary Clinton faction, right? You had your old school Democrat and you had your super progressive socialist. I mean, I know he's like 437 years old, but his all of his ideas.
He was socialist in the time of the Brontosaurus, I believe.
Well, he was socialist at the time that socialism was invented, and it hasn't worked then and it hasn't worked since. But look, as far as the Democrats are concerned, the big socialist push is relatively new insofar as they've taken it, right? So I think you've got these two factions of the Democratic Party that are now kind of at war with one another, and you're starting to see that divide, right? You're starting to see it in Congress. You've got your Nancy Pelosi's and your Chuck Schumer's versus your new school Democrats and their Green New Deal and everybody jumping on board this uber progressive agenda. I think Joe Biden represents, and it's weird because I've never thought of Joe Biden as a moderate before, but I think he represents what, I guess, more moderate Democratic ideals.
He's insofar more moderate than what's being bantered around the party right now.
He's moderate compared to the super far left that we've seen pop up more recently. And I think that really rubs a lot of liberals the wrong way who want to go more socialist, who want to go more super progressive. And so I think that this whole, he can't stop groping people, hashtag me too, is just sort of a way to edge him out to make room for 2020 contenders who are going to be more socially progressive. The question's going to be whether that causes a stark divide and whether or not that's really a smart move if you're going against somebody like Trump. We're going to have to see, right?
Hurting a Democrat's likability factor. So, yeah, this is going to hurt Joe. He's supposed to be likable. He's Huggy Joe, or as you call him, Gropey Joe.
Gropey Joe. Well, and again, I think that he represents something that I think many in the Democratic Party are seeking to leave behind. It's a question of whether or not this is a good time to leave it behind. You are going into 2020. A lot of the reason why people like Trump is because of his economic policies, which is obviously they're the opposite of a socialist's economic policies in most ways that matter. So again, I see this as politically calculated. I don't see this as many people actually thinking that Joe Biden is a threat to women. Again, dude needs to stop sniffing people. Just stop sniffing people like a bloodhound. Just stop doing it. But, other than that, again, I think the bigger picture
you
here,
mentioned
everybody.
Herbal Essences earlier.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the Babylon Bee put out an amazing article yesterday. It was hilarious about, I guess they said Garnier Fructis has now released their Joe Biden collection of shampoo. So, because that's all he ever does. He just sniffs on people. And when he's not doing that, he's like stroking their face all like weird.
Be Biden sniffable fresh.
I don't know. It's like I said, maybe if you're going to be around Joe Biden or if you think you're going to see him or something, maybe like just don't shower for 5 or 6 days. I don't know if that'll help. I see it as politically calculated. And I think that, I think the more important point here is why are they trying to edge this guy out? What does that mean for the Democratic Party? What direction are they trying to go? I think there's more to it. than Biden's creepy. Because we've all known that for forever, right?
Yeah, we've known this for some time. This is hardly shocking news. What is shocking some people is what's going on down at the border. Now we have a situation where hundreds of illegal aliens that are detained are being released every day because simply there's no place to house them.
Well, and I'm trying to figure out who in their right mind does not at this point see this as a crisis.
I'm with you on that. It's so odd. I mean, when you're releasing the average of 200 illegal aliens a day because you simply have no place to put them.
So that's one sector, by the way.
Yeah,
if we can
human.
Kind of put this in context, that's one sector. I mean, we're talking about just El Paso there. So I'm not, you know, the last figure that I saw was that at one point, border agents had apprehended something like it was almost 4,100 illegal aliens that one day alone, which is unprecedented, that they hold up to 12,000 illegal aliens in their facilities at any given time, which they're only set to hold like 4,000 to 6,000. So they're crammed in like cattle, which is ridiculous. But I mean, again, it's not because anybody's trying to be inhumane. If they come across the border, they have to be processed. And if you don't have anywhere to put them, you don't have anywhere to put them. And it's interesting that the Democrats will be the first ones to come down and say, well, this is a humanitarian crisis. How dare you put these people in these, you know, bus ports like this?
They're all moms and babies, I think, according to Al Green on the House floor.
But they're the ones who are cutting beds at the detention centers. They're the ones that are lowering funding for immigration facilities. So if you want people to not be sleeping on concrete floors, don't you think you'd be going, gee, maybe we should expand our facilities to actually be able to house people, at least temporarily, while you figure out their situation? So I the hypocrisy here, again, we've said it time and time again, you have got a rising crisis at the border, you've got increasing numbers of illegal aliens coming across, and yet all the left wants to do is harp on the problem and point fingers. I have yet to see a single proposed solution to this problem from the left. Not one.
They don't want the solution, and I will even go a little bit further. They like the imagery of people being in chain link fences underneath bridges because, you know, you see the social media meme going out and like, oh, you know, I remember another time where the government came for you and grabbed you and put you in a camp, you know, and housing behind chain link fences, you know, again, with the Nazi reference that they go on. You know, they don't mention the fact that, well, these people actually came to our border. You know, they left their homes. They weren't physically removed from their homes by our government and put in this situation. They came here hoping to improve their situation, and simply they are stuck in a line in a system that is not working. But that imagery does work.
Well, and that's, again, that's where you have to start looking at this, and any person with half a brain could easily figure out that this is about politics, this is about spiking a political football, and this is about using imagery to try to push a certain point. This has nothing to do with solving the actual problem.
But you said
nothing
people with half a brain. I think, you know,
social
media has shown us that, you know, there's quite a few people that might not meet that threshold that you're setting. That's a pretty high threshold, it seems, at times.
Well, you know, okay, so people with half a brain or people who actually have, you know, let's call it half of a compassion bone in their body. If you actually care, if this is something you actually care about, if this is something that bothers you, if you do not want to see people shoved in carports, which, by the way, and I've said this multiple times, but I'm going to continue to state this. I went to the border with MRC in 2014. I have pictures exactly like the ones that you're seeing today, exactly like the ones that, you know, all these bleeding heart liberal politicians are tweeting out, and, you know, CBS is down at the border taking all these pictures of people jammed into these facilities, and it just, I have pictures, and I can show them to you from 2014 in McAllen, Texas, of the same exact thing under the Obama administration. We had a crisis at the time. It was not dealt with appropriately. We had unaccompanied children coming across the border in droves that we hadn't seen before. And I have pictures of toddlers crammed into unconditioned bus ports because Border Patrol had nowhere to put them. That was 5 years ago, and nobody was using that as a talking point on the left about how the Obama administration were Nazis who were putting people in concentration camps. I have the same exact pictures with the same exact imagery. So you can tell this has not been about solving the problem, because if it were, we would have solved it back then when it was a problem back then. But instead, it's just being dredged up now as a way to slam Trump, slam his administration, again, without a single proposed solution from the left. And okay, all of these people are coming across by the thousands. We have nowhere to put them. You don't like that. What is your solution?
Well,
what is your solution?
Let's talk about one of the solutions from the right, one that a lot of Trump supporters agree with. In particular, I don't think this is the best resolution. Trump talks about shutting down the border completely. That will hurt trade for the U.S. I don't think that's necessarily the correct answer. He's backed off a little bit since he said this.
The way that I see this, and again, I have not had a personal conversation with the man, but given the
you
fact
haven't?
That that's... I haven't. We missed our weekly phone call last week.
If you run into him,
will you
give him let him join the Straight Arm Club?
When I see him at poker next Wednesday, I'll make sure to ask these questions. But look... I don't see that so much as a serious policy proposal, so much as I see that as we need something to grab the nation's attention. We need something to pull both parties to the table and say, we've got to figure this out. Because again, when you have an entire, I think we've got two national emergencies here, to be honest with you. I think we have the national emergency at the border, and I think we have the national emergency of left-wing lawmakers in Congress who see a crisis like this, understand what this is, and are refusing to do anything about it. So I think right now he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, if you declare a national emergency, it's going to get hung up in courts. If you try to go through Congress, it's going to get stonewalled. At what point do you reach a place where you say, unless I threaten something extreme, they're not even going to come to the table and talk about about a sensible solution here? And meanwhile, you've got the border just being completely and totally overrun.
And we're not seeing a lot of media covering the border right now.
Well, we are, actually. We're just seeing them cover it in a different way. CBS, for example, just ran an entire documentary talking about the migrant helpers who are assisting
the
migrants.
The migrant helpers. Oh.
The migrant helpers. Not human traffickers. No. Not human smugglers.
Oh, yes.
Not
coyotes. Yes, I know the article you're talking about. Yes.
Oh, yes. The migrant helpers is how they put it, who are assisting people making the dangerous journey to the United States and bringing them across the border illegally. So now we're not even covering what's going on at the border. Now we've got CBS down there with a camera crew waxing poetic for 45 minutes about this human smuggling industry and how these heroes of mankind are assisting all of these poor migrants from Guatemala. So we are seeing some media coverage. We're just seeing very, very select, manipulative media coverage.
The only time I've seen the border in actual video on the network news is when Trump was down there discussing the border. I have not seen recent video footage of the border. We get to see some select pictures of people under bridges and things of that nature and behind chain link fences. But I'm not seeing a lot of fresh video. You know, I'm not seeing a lot of footage, and I think that's on purpose.
Well, Jim Acosta did stand next to the Burger King and show that there wasn't a crisis. So I guess that just puts the issue to bed. So, I mean, that Burger King was just standing there not being invaded. So I guess the crisis is over and everything's perfectly fine. Look, I think that if they were to actually show exactly what was happening down there, if you were to show how many people come across every day, if you were to show the facilities, you know, just being completely maxed out, because again, Democrats have slashed funding for beds and detention centers, I think that you would have many people on the left, ordinary Americans who lean liberal, even they would start saying, look, we have to do something about this. We have to do something about this. So again, I think that they cover it when it can be used politically, not so much when they feel like the tables might get turned on them. So I think that's where we're at right now. Plus the Mueller report came out and everything was distracted. So we can only focus on one story at a time in America. You do know this, right?
I think there is a serious fear of the wall. They it would be very, very tough to admit that a wall might help this situation.
Well, golly gee. It's almost like walls have helped in similar situations. But no, we can't talk about that. You know, we're just going to continue to have this crisis, and it's going to continue to ramp up. And I think when people are going to start getting really upset is, look, this is not something that just happens at the border. People often forget that. This is not something that is particular to the border, and once the people come across, the crisis kind of stops there. This is something that impacts American communities across the country. This is something that impacts our school systems.
Our federal budgets.
Our federal budgets, our welfare systems, our education system. I mean, my mom is a substitute teacher, and she will tell you she has seen the demographic change incredibly, because now you've got lots and lots of children coming into the education system who don't speak English. They're put into third, fourth, fifth grade classrooms, and they don't speak English. So you have to catch them up. So this is going to start having a massive, massive impact on our society, on our wallets, and that is where I think people are going to start feeling it. This is not a problem that is particular to El Paso and Phoenix, okay? So it'll be interesting to see when it gets to that point, because I don't see us being able to sustain thousands of people coming across every day without people starting to feel it.
Something that is not moving very far, but the Democrats did put forth their constitutional amendment to get rid of the Electoral College this week.
Ah, yes.
Because the Electoral College is mean and nasty, and I guess candidates should only campaign and... you know, California, New York, because that, you know, that way they can pretty much get the popular vote. Yeah, this is just political gamesmanship. There's nothing really to this. This has no hope. You're never going to get 2/3 of states to agree on this. You're never going to get it past the Senate.
No, you're not. And again, I think that this is another one of those things that it's so ridiculously political. It has nothing to do with what's good for the country. And I've talked a lot about this. Before, because I think the Electoral College, I do think that there are plenty of Democrats like your Nancy Pelosi's who are actually smart enough to understand why the Electoral College is an important thing. I don't think because they genuinely don't think it's important or understand what it is or what it does for us.
But it appeals to the base.
It appeals to the base, and it's politically convenient at the moment. You notice that we only talk about voter ID laws and lowering the voting age and putting illegal people on a pathway to citizenship. We only talk about that around election time because that's when it's convenient for the left. This is another one of those things. So the Electoral College, I think a lot of people, the first argument that comes to mind, obviously, is that it disenfranchises people who don't live in big cities, right? Because you're going to have... a very select few locations.
Oh, yeah.
Deciding
yeah, you know,
the
first nation primary state of New Hampshire, who's going to care if you get rid of the Electoral College?
Exactly. But I think you know, and again, not to keep bringing her up ad nauseum, but I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually sort of made my point for me a few days ago, because she tweeted out, or rather, she was talking with Chris Hayes. That's what it was. She was on MSNBC and she was talking with Chris Hayes.
She was talking. That kind of always leads to problems.
Because everybody likes to be interviewed by a 12-year-old girl. So she was talking to Chris Hayes, and she was saying, this is a 29-year-old bartender from the Bronx / Westchester, depending on, you know, what part of her life you're focusing on. And she made the point that she was asked about the farting cows thing from her Green New Deal. And she made the point that, well, in order to reduce the amount of methane from cows, we need to be looking at the grain that we feed them in these troughs.
Government
should
regulate that.
So the 29-year-old bartender from Westchester is telling all the stupid Iowans who've had cattle for 200 years how to feed their cows. And so I think this brings up a really great defense of the Electoral College. It's not just about stripping people of their voice and their ability to have an impact on the election. It's also going to result in people from big cities implementing policies and electing people who don't understand life in the Midwest and the issues that impact it. Do you really want people from LA telling you how to feed your cows? I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to feed your cows because I've never owned a cow in my life, and I'm not going to presume to know how Iowans should feed their cows or grow their corn. So this is why we need the Electoral College. It's not just so that people aren't disenfranchised, it's also so that the wide variety of issues in our country can be represented and addressed. Otherwise, all of our money is going to be going to inner cities. None of it's going to be going to irrigation out in Idaho, and we're going to run out of potatoes. This is really, it's not rocket science, people. You know, so again, I think, you know, the other thing too about the Electoral College that people typically don't bring up and I think is really important, is when you're talking about rigging elections, when you're talking about stealing elections, the Electoral College is incredibly ingenious because it actually keeps that from happening. People don't often think that if you don't have the Electoral College and if you've just got a populist vote, then all you've got to do if you want to rig an election or if you want to tamper with things, with the, which the Democrats seem incredibly concerned about, is to tamper with them in one area, as opposed to the Electoral College, where you have to have this puzzle piece kind of quilt work pattern in order to win an election. It makes an election virtually unstealable because you would have to rig things in different areas and do it just perfectly so that the numbers come out in your favor. As opposed to if you have a populist vote, all you've got to do is rig some stuff in New York City to send yourself over the top. So it makes elections unstealable, which is incredibly important for anybody that cares about the democracy part of our democratic republic.
I've heard a lot about the stealing of elections.
I mean, they only care when it's care when it's convenient for them. So, you know, again, the Electoral College, it's one of those amazing inventions by our founding fathers who had so much forethought into our country and into human nature. I mean, the history and the mechanisms behind the Electoral College are fascinating if you ever get a chance to study up on it. But we're just going to throw a masterpiece down the drain because it's convenient for Democrats, I guess is what we're being told.
All right, we are out of time. Thank you for joining us in the MRC TV podcast. We'll be back again next week. Again, check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Until then, I'm Eric Shiner.
And I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see y'all next time.